We've been talking about this news a lot today. Sheldon Keefe has got to find himself a new staff member because Dave Haxtell has been in town working with the Maple Leafs for a couple of years, and that will no longer be the case because we've been waiting for this for a while. Who's going to get the job in Seattle? Turns out the answer is Dave Haxtell. He's the new head coach, the first head coach in Seattle Kraken history, and he's kind enough to join us now. Congrats, Dave. This is awesome. How did this all come about? We had not heard your name connected to the team. Obviously, you've been going through the process, but how long were you and Ron Francis kicking tires, and how cool is this experience going to be for you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's been an awesome day. It's been a pretty cool day to go through. My wife and my son is out here. My daughter wasn't able to join us, but been a great 24 hours here. We've had great communication, really, beginning, I guess, about a year ago. And then, obviously, as our season came to an end a few weeks back, and Ron got going with his interview process, we picked up the communication at that time.
We were talking about the, back in the day, expansion team, no pressure. After what Vegas went through, going to the finals in year one, how are you thinking? What are you thinking going into this? It's almost like you're one of the spotlight coaches, although you're an expansion team. If there's like a top 10 list of the beginning of the season, it's like you're under the gun already. How excited are you about that challenge?
Yeah, no, It's a heck of a challenge, but you can equal that with the opportunity. Just being able to really see everything that's been put together here in Seattle is unbelievable. I had a chance to come out and see it firsthand a few days ago, and then being back today, in terms of the foundation that from the ownership group through Todd and through Ron, everything that's been, put together in terms of facilities and everything that goes with it, in terms of staff and personnel is pretty amazing. So, there's a big challenge ahead of us and a lot of work to do, but it's an unbelievable opportunity here in Seattle.
Well, and what's amazing about this is you guys have the infrastructure, but you don't have a team. Like, you literally don't have players yet. So I can't imagine what this interview experience would be like, and I hope you can inform us and keep us up to date on this, because I'm sure when you went to Philly, the question was, how do you get Giroux going? How do you get Voracek going? What are you going to do with Wayne Simmons? There's no players, so how did you go through this interview without the ability to pinpoint certain players and certain structures that you want to implement, knowing that the players will not be here for another month?
You're accurate, right? We'll start to fill in the names in terms of the players here with the expansion draft coming up. But just a lot of talk in terms of overall philosophy, and probably just also an extension of some of the time that I had a chance to spend together with Ron during the World Championships a couple of summers ago. We were both with Team Canada at the time and got to know each other well there. So as you go through the interview process, and not only with Ron, but others in the organization, just a great opportunity to, to talk, talk specifics of hockey, talk some philosophy, and really, individually and personally get to know each other.
I think two things. It's pretty cool that they announced that they show you getting off a private jet to a personal car. That's kind of neat. I don't know if that's in your wheelhouse every day, but that's something cool. But I thought I read – sorry, go ahead.
You don't go to work every day that way?
Noodles does. Yeah, grind. We take cabs and we walk. Noodles
exactly.
Five-star.
I don't know about that.
All I'm going to say, and I won't waste too much of the time, but the one that was on top of the world was my 13-year-old son, Brendan, and he really got one up on his 15-year-old sister this time because she wasn't able to come out.
That would do amazing. That would do it.
Yeah.
Actually, the follow-up, though, I read your comments today about something that I think is closer to your coaching style, and you said work ethic is kind of non-negotiable. Is that something that you're going to try and put that stamp on your team right away with?
Yeah, that's a part of it, and I think it goes without saying. All you have to do is you watch the teams that are playing still playing tonight and playing tomorrow night, I mean, that's inherent in the game, right? In terms of giving yourself a chance every day to build towards being successful in the playoffs. I mean, I think that's a non-negotiable staple of any successful team. There's obviously a lot more that goes into it. And, you know, along with that work ethic, I hope there's a whole lot of fun that comes with it. But competing together and working together, you know, and being on the same page, you know, in order to win games is a lot of fun. But it starts with a basic work ethic.
Dave, we haven't heard your voice in 2 years. You've been here in Toronto. I don't know the reasoning for not having the assistant coaches not speak to anybody. I think it's stupid, to be quite honest with you. Is that something that you will carry on with you to Seattle? You're going to Ron say it, or you're going to say it, guys, no one else is speaking, I'll be the voice of this team. Can you take us through the philosophy of not having assistants speak, and will you carry on with that in Seattle?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I guess that's not, we haven't had the conversation about that. And, you know, it's not a philosophy that, you know, that I've ever talked about with, you know, with Kyle in Toronto or with Sheldon or with Mike. But, you know, in terms of having one voice speaking for the organization, I think that, you know, there is some sense to that. You know, just organizationally having one voice delivering, you know, the message from the organization. I think that's the thought process in terms of how we handle things here. You know, on a day-to-day basis, obviously the head coach is in front of the media an awful lot. I do think there's a time and a place for others to have the opportunity also to speak. But we haven't talked about it here. You know, that's one of the details that I'm sure we'll get into as we start building our staff over the next couple of weeks as well. But there's a lot of great hockey minds in the National Hockey League, and everybody has their own approach in terms of how they want to handle media. It's such an important part of what we do. Everybody chooses their own pathway.
Chatting with Dave Hackstall, he's been announced as the first head coach in Seattle Kraken history. Again, had been on the staff here in Toronto for the past couple of years, and now that you're not in Toronto anymore, you can speak about them, and you're allowed to do that. It felt like from the outside, it was just shock that you guys lost to Montreal. Like up 3-1, the confidence was there. You felt great about your team. Everyone felt great. Is that an appropriate way of phrasing it and defining it? Just shock throughout the room, shock throughout the system. You couldn't believe that the series got away and that Montreal actually won in seven.
Well, you know, I don't know if the word, you know, I don't know if I'd use the word shock. It was, you know, extremely disappointing for us all. You know, we had expectations of, doing some good things. And, you know, that playoff series was, you know, as you look to game five, obviously, in a great spot. And, you know, a seven-game playoff series happens awful quick. And, you know, through some of the critical points, game five, game six, and through game seven, you know, they were able to push the game their direction. So, you know, there's a ton of growing pains. It's painful. They're called growing pains for a reason. But what I will say, that's a tremendous group inside of that dressing room. And, I watched and, you know, listened to the media, you know, and how our players and everybody handled things. You know, not my place to speak much more than that, but I'll tell you, there's some great people and very competitive players in that dressing room. And, you know, their day is going to come, that much I know. And, I'll be a big fan for a lot of those guys in that dressing room because there's some tremendous human beings in that room.
Well, I get the impression, like, obviously you're a believer. You've been there. You know it. You've been behind the scenes in terms of what they have and the clutch gene, et cetera. On the outside, it's tough to see it because they haven't been able to do it. How does that apply to the expansion draft, where I'm sure you will have a voice in this? I don't know if you're a believer in the clutch gene or not, but how do you scout for it? How do you find it? Because everyone wants it. Whether you believe it or not, you want a guy who can get the job done in the biggest moments. How do yourself and Ron Francis and others, when you get to the expansion draft, look for those intangibles, and how much weight do you put into it in terms of picking your team?
Yeah, well, those will be things, you know, within the expansion draft. Obviously, Ron and his staff will be handling most of those decisions. I'm certainly going to have input when asked for it. You know, you talk about the intangibles and the gene. Partially maybe within an individual's gene pool, but also, you know, it develops and grows with experience and confidence and knowing how to learn and get it done. And sometimes your biggest learning tool and the factor that pushes you forward is failure along the way, and we've all had that. And you know, the real key is to be able to apply that in the right way and make sure you come back and do it a little bit better next time. And speaking in general terms, with a lot of things in life, I think that's the case. But I know the group in that dressing room will do that. And I think in general within the game, you're going to stub your toe along the way, and it's hard. But you come back better for it, and eventually you stay with it, and the payoff is going to be there.
Well, we wish you nothing but success in Seattle. It's going to be fun to see the next couple of months when you guys really dig in and actually, pick the team, develop the team, and see where it takes you. So best of luck with it, Dave. Really appreciate you taking time for us today. We'll do this again down the road.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it, and I'd love to come back on.
You got it. We'll absolutely set that up. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. There he is, Dave Haxtell, the new head coach in Seattle, and was on the staff here in Toronto for a while with Sheldon Keefe and with Babcock. He was a Mike Babcock hire, I believe, technically.
Yeah.
And that's enough. We've had these conversations the past couple of days. Where do you go? How much can you expect? He's not gonna hammer the Leafs on the way out. He's not gonna say they choked. But you want to get as much as you can, and it sounds like, he's saying what a lot of them have been saying, and Keith has said, and Dubas has said. They believe in the group. They got a lot of talent. It's a cohesive room. There's no poison. It's just they can't get the job done.
Yeah,
they can't win.
They can't win
in the playoffs. Bit of an issue.
You retool and you go back at it again, just like every other. Like 31 or 30 organizations will be disappointed when somebody wins the cup this year, and then you
Boston
go right back at it.
Boston will be fired up. Will be fired up. Colorado fired up.
Like, there's some teams that are probably pissed there, that they're sitting at home watching, and they've got to retool and go back at it.
Florida Panthers. There's going to just everybody. Everyone's reloading and saying, we just go back at it.
I thought it was the two things that I would think of with his input. Is when they go to choose a player from Toronto, obviously he'll know that team inside and out.
Yeah.
And then would you think that if a guy like Hyman, if they covet that type of like hardworking culture, like wouldn't you be looking at a free agent signing and going, well, if we can't give you an ABV a little higher, we can give you a term, that type of stuff. It wouldn't surprise me if Seattle was interested in Zach Hyman to build their team.
Me neither.
To be a part of their, their core moving forward.
Absolutely. I think he'd be a perfect piece for an expansion team like that. Like a perfect, exactly what you're going to get out of Zach Hyman.
Right.
And I could see them kicking tires on that. I think you're right about Haxtell. Whoever they take from the Leafs will come from Haxtell.
Right.
Why would it not? Why would Ron Francis be like, nah, we don't care about your opinion? Like, obviously, they're going to ask him
wants to coach.
Yeah, who you want to coach and who you know them. You know their habits. You know what they're about. You know how they work. You know how they are in the room, on the road. Right. He's got all the access to it, right? And I would think probably in Philly, he was there a few years ago. They probably, what do you think of this guy? You coached him a few years ago. Do you like him or not? Well, obviously, you're going to do that, canvas your people. But, when it comes to the Leafs and the expansion team, it seems to have been narrowed down to a few players. It's probably Dermott or Kerfoot, probably. Maybe they go off the board and, is it a Pierre Engvall or something like that? I doubt it, but you never know. I mean,
it depends on what they covet and who they have in front of them. Like, they might be looking for a fourth liner that can skate and has size or something. Maybe
and a contract that will expire. They may just want to take a guy because they have to, and then be like, all right, once his deal's up, see you later, and we're moving on. You're not going to get a player from every team that you love or that has a future. That happened with Vegas. Vegas took, what was his name with the Leafs? he never did anything. He was there for like 2 weeks, and they got rid of him.
The little guy, the left-handed shot.
Yeah, Leipzig or whatever.
Yeah,
Leipzig. Oh, Brandon Leipzig.
Brandon Leipzig.
Yeah, he bounced around, and then he got himself in some trouble, and I think he ended up in the KHL.
Yeah, I don't believe he's still playing. He's definitely not in the NHL. I haven't heard his name in a while. I don't know where he is. But anyway, good luck to Dave Haxtell. I mean, it's going to be a cool experience out in Seattle. They got a hockey team for the first time professionally in the NHL, new building, you know. There's a lot of excitement out there.
It'll be a great setup up there. And obviously, you could speak to Ronnie Francis. Like, just seems like such a class, like, great guy. Like, they'll do it. They'll do it right there. They will. And
really good talent. Like, a lot of people give credit to Don Waddell for that Carolina situation. And Roddy Brind'Amour obviously gets his credit. But Ronnie Francis, like, he drafted a lot of those guys. He put a lot of that talent in place.
Yeah,
like he knows how to evaluate it. And for years, they're like, oh, yeah, great talent, but they can never break through. As soon as he left, Donnie Waddell steps in, and Roddy goes behind the bench, and they're looking pretty sweet. But Ronnie's – I was shocked. I literally can remember sitting – me and Ronnie used to sit on the back of the bus and rip guys after games sometimes. And he was like, I'll never be in management after this. Never. And he's like, oh, you'll probably end up in the media. I said, never, those losers in the media as if. And we both agreed that we'd be in this, like, Florida or Bahamas somewhere golfing. And sure enough, he's grinding it out as a GM. And look where I am on overdrive.
Yeah. Well, you made it. Yeah. You finally made it. And
made your dream
I'm glad
calling.
You did.
Yeah,
it all came together. Everything worked out for the two of you. Doing what you love and working with people that you look up to. Ultimately, and that's
what
matters.
Exactly. Our captain, our fearless leader, our captain.
That's right. Yep, that's right.